Welcome to hour number 10 of Rosie on the House. It's our fourth hour of broadcasting every Saturday morning here for 29 years is your Saturday morning tradition. This is our specialty hour where we dig deep into one topic, and we had a great hour leading up to it on supercooling. Now we're talking about the equipment that you use to supercool your home. We're joined by Isley's Home Performance. Isley's Home Services. I mixed last guest and this hour's guest together. Before we do that, if you missed the program or you're just joining us, earlier we had a special guest in the 7 o'clock hour, Kimes Ranch Apparel. It's an American-made jean line. They brought in some gifts for us to give away, some hats, some bags. So if you'd like a chance to win those, you can text your favorite American-made product to 411-923. Anybody that can name their favorite American-made product will be it'll be picked at random. We've got 10 different prizes to give away. Some things that don't count, your children don't count. Your eggs from your chicken don't count. This is products that you can buy that are American-made, consumable goods that we all need that are made here in America. So people don't count. With that said, we'll turn it over, the broadcast over to Rosie and our special guests in studio.
Absolutely. So new Rosie certified providers serving the East Valley, Isley's Home Services. We have the owner, John Dargavel, and Mr. Derek Bell. Guys, thanks for coming in the studio. Can we just start with a little bit of a family story of the 60-year history of Isley's in Arizona?
You certainly can. Thank you for having us on. But I've been part of Isley's for a little over 20 years, and it's a family-run business, and my wife's been involved, and my son-in-law's involved, and we've been happy to service the Valley for quite some time. And I got involved in Isley's by working with Guy Isley probably 30 years ago, and then they wanted to get out of the business, and I took over the air conditioning division.
Fantastic. We appreciate y'all joining us. And as you heard the past hour, we've been talking about the concept of supercooling as one tactic to try and stay comfortable living on the desert floors of Arizona throughout the summer without letting your electric bill totally kill you, wipe you out. Now let's talk about the actual equipment. John, if you were going to describe air conditioning in one sentence, how would you say, how does it do what it does?
Well, you're living in the desert and you want to have somewhere comfortable to go. So with, you know, air conditioning, you're basically transferring the heat from in this house and transferring it outside and keeping yourself comfortable to live in this desert.
We're removing any or most of the humidity. We're going to dehumidify the air, right?
Correct.
And then a lot of people don't understand, you're not introducing cooling into the house as much as you are taking heat away. I've actually heard air conditioning as a simple component. Hey, all you're doing is moving heat from where you don't want it to where you do want it, outside.
Yeah, exactly. When the air
That's kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah, when the air conditioner's running, if you're ever outside by where the unit's blowing outside, you'll feel heat coming out of that unit. And you're actually transferring the heat from inside to outside, and that's how the air feels cool blowing into the home.
And you know, John, there are times in my more inspired moments I can almost understand that, but I have to tell you, the one thing I can never get my head around is in a heat pump, all you do is reverse that in the winter, and you're asking the unit outside in January on a cold, wet morning to catch all the heat it can outside and send it inside. That one I don't understand.
I totally agree with you. That's a tough concept, but there's actually heat in the air, even when it's really cold outside. And that's why with a heat pump in really colder climates, like if you were up in Flagstaff, that they don't work well. But in our climate, when it's 40 degrees and above, a heat pump works great in the wintertime.
It does. All right. So we're recommending to people when they're looking at reassessing their equipment. And we tell people always want to know how long will air conditioning equipment last. And I said, well, that's hard to tell. But, you know, we've increased our efficiencies so much over the last 15 years. I generally tell them, look, if your unit is over 15 years old, you're going to see considerable savings with the newer efficient units than what you're currently consuming. What are y'all telling people as far as when to anticipate equipment replacement?
Well, I'm going to let Derek tell you about that, and that's my son-in-law, Derek Ball.
Derek, thanks for coming down with father-in-law.
Morning, Derek.
You mentioned it's a family operation. Is this so from Guy Isley?
Yep.
John DeGarville. Is this third generation prepping right here?
Yeah, it's grooming. Just exactly what we're doing.
Excellent.
So usually, an average lifespan is 10 to 15 years, and usually what we tell people when we're out to their home is, you know, once the unit's getting a little bit older in age, we communicate to them that, you know, you're more or less on borrowed time, and, you know, maybe running fine today and maybe running fine tomorrow, but, you know, you need to start to plan and get ready for unit replacement. And usually some leading questions, you know, we ask customers is, you know, what they like about their existing system and maybe some areas where they don't like some things about their existing air conditioner. And those are things that you can plant seeds and communicate with them on making them realize with a new piece of equipment, not only can they save some more money on their electric usage, but also gain more comfort within their home.
Well, and y'all have seen the advancement from the manufacturers of the equipment. Can you explain a little bit the difference between a variable speed and a two-speed compressor and what that means to the homeowner in their power consumption?
Sure. I'm going to go a little bit further with that. So with most homes now, when you go to them with the older equipment, they have single-stage equipment where it goes from 0 to 100 when it first turns on. And it cools the house and then turns off. With two-stage equipment, you're going to have where it turns on at 70% of its capacity. It runs at 70%. And if that's all that you need to keep the house at the temperature that you want it to be at, that's what that piece of equipment is going to run at. And when it needs to kick up to that 100% of its capacity, it will do so and run at 100% and then kick back down to 70% so you have more comfort within the space. Your biggest power draws from turning the unit on and off. So when you have two-stage, it does not turn on and off as frequently, so you do gain more energy efficiency from two-stage versus single-stage, even though sometimes a single-stage piece of equipment may be rated at the same rating as a two-stage piece of equipment. And then when you get to variable speed inverter-type systems, those pieces of equipment, you know, have multiple stages, you know, all the way up to 750, you know, if you have a heat pump, and 700. If you have a straight cool, and those units, you know, may run all day long in the summertime, but they're only giving you the demand that you actually need within the home. It's very similar to cruise control on your car. If you were driving from here to California and you had cruise control set at 70, 75, whatever speed you prefer to go to, your RPMs in your car are going to go up and down and maintain that speed, and you're going to have a more efficient gas mileage. And it's very similar with that variable speed system, is that you're going to get more comfort. Because it's circulating and moving air for longer periods of time, you're going to have cleaner air within the house, and you're going to have more consistent temperatures. So not only are you more efficient, but you could also gain a lot more comfort within the space.
We have Midwesterners moving out here occasionally, and they're still a little bit afraid of the Arizona summer, so they encourage us, look, I want the biggest air conditioner you can put on this house. I want to be able to turn my house into a meat locker. And then I'm always in a two-hour conversation with them. Well, okay, that means I'm going to downsize your equipment a little bit more. I'm going to let it run longer. I get you a 5-ton unit on a 1,500-square-foot condo. This thing's going to be shutting off so often, you're not going to get the filtered indoor air quality. You're not going to eliminate the hot and cold pockets in the house. And you're going to have a $600 a month utility bill. But sometimes it takes a little convincing. I'm sure y'all have to do the same. Y'all have to have the same conversation as well with some of the folks you're visiting with out in the field.
Yes, you definitely do, especially with people that aren't from here. A lot of people are like, oh, well, we keep our house back east, you know, at 68 in the summer months. And you kind of have to educate them on, you know, 75 is what you design your heat load calculation at whenever you're out, you know, doing an estimate or designing a system for a home. And, you know, going back to what you guys previously were talking to on the show about super cooling, you know, with that, you know, homes, you can, you know, cool them below 75, but that system's designed to run at 75. And with that being said, you know, putting a bigger unit on the home is not always the best option. And sometimes with two-stage or variable speed inverter types, like we were just talking about, you do have to go with a larger unit because they don't come in half-ton increments. But with that being said, most people, you know, if you have a 3.5-ton unit that needs to be on a home, going with a single stage piece of equipment, if that's what they want to go in with, then, you know, instead of going up to a 4-ton with single stage, you do gain, you know, like you just talked about, more comfort, cleaner air, because that unit's not turning on and off and short cycling within the home. So that's 100% correct.
And I understand Isley's Home Services was recruited by one of the utility companies to kind of do some beta testing on the super cooling. You want to share some of the results y'all found out?
Well, Rosie, they're still looking at some of the results on that, but we did go into several homes where they installed solar on the homes, and then we went in and oversized the systems to prepare for the super cooling where they wanted the homes below 70 degrees by noon, you know, so then they could shut the system back and then see how much energy was consumed. And we also put in two-stage equipment, so they could use that second stage to get the home cool and then have the lower stage to run the home when it was in its period where it would be heating up.
If you have a question, 1-888-767-4348. If anything air conditioning related, maybe you've had somebody out recently that gave you a proposal you'd like a second opinion on or talk to an expert through it. 1-888-767-4348. When we get back, Mark and Chan. Busy broadcast here this Saturday morning. Let's get right to the calls. Every line is full. So here's how you get in if you have a question. Go to, if you're calling on a cell phone, get your dial pad. Type in 888-767-4348. When you hear us take a call, hit send. That'll be your best chance to get in queue. If somebody isn't able to join, we had to give out Steve's number last hour. There was a lot of people on the line during the week. Isley's Home Service, I-S-L-E-Y. Website and phone number?
I-S-L-E-Y-S.com. Phone number is 480-736-1805.
Let's start with Mark N. Chandler. Welcome to the program. What's your question?
Hi, and I might even be giving Isley a call after this. Back in the Midwest, how come out here in the valley, and I know there's limited time to use them, I've been having trouble finding anybody who would install, let alone has heard of, a whole house fan. And I realize we've got a limited season to use them, couple months at the beginning and end. But why aren't they more common out here, and what cautions do I want to know about? I know they're not difficult to install.
Yeah, and it's very much like you said, that out here there's a very limited season to be able to use that, and moving air through the home, you know, when it's as warm as it is during the day, it just defeats the purpose of having air conditioning within the home. So there are certain periods where it will work at night, but then you are bringing outdoor air in, and if it's humid out, you have issues with that. But it's just not a popular item that you see out here.
Okay, I was thinking like March, April, where it gets to 90 during the day and it gets to 50 at night. You know, the thing that's in the, you know what I'm talking about, in the ceiling of the house, across through the rest of the attic and out the attic vents. And I was just thinking that in, you know, April, May, you know, you're still getting down to 60 at night.
And Mark,
anyway, that was my thought.
You mentioned the Midwest. Whereabouts?
My brother-in-law had one in Chicago.
Okay. Well.
And I know you got the humidity, but there was obviously, you can use it a lot during the whole summertime.
Yeah, that's where Arizona has evap cooling.
And you just don't see them out here. I have seen them on homes, and they are available, but it's not something that we see every day.
So we appreciate the call. Let's move to, we're going to stay in Chandler and bring Charlie next on the line. Good morning. Charlie? All right. We'll get back to Charlie, and we don't have a screen call yet. All lines are full, so when we're talking about somebody moving in from another and, hey, how come this isn't there, best practices, if it worked great, it probably would be here.
I agree 100%. In evaporative cooling, you don't really see that as much anymore just due to the operating cost of it, maintenance, and how high efficiency the air conditioners are right now. But we definitely see people with evaporative cooling, and air conditioning is the most popular method of cooling a home right now.
Real quick, we won't spend a lot of time on it because there's not a lot of homes that have them yet, but mini splits.
Well, mini splits are a great machine. We add them a lot of times to people's garages and additions, or maybe there's a hot spot on a house with a flat roof or a two-story home where you don't have access to a space for ductwork. And they work out great. And, you know, they range anywhere from 3/4 of a ton all the way up to 3.5 tons. And you can run multiple air handlers off of one condensing unit. They're extremely efficient. And, you know, once they're installed, they're relatively easy to maintain. And they do deliver a lot of comfort throughout the home into spaces where people need it.
They are Derek, pretty cool units. Go ahead, Rosie.
On that topic, how do we accomplish indoor air quality with a mini split? The filtering systems on that are so simple and so basic. Do we then have to add a complementary auxiliary air filtration system?
I think that's about the only way to really do it, Rosie. With a mini split system, the filtration is probably the weakest thing that I see on them. And if you had some sort of portable filter inside of a room, that would be a good device. Most people also have air conditioning inside of their home along with a mini split, depending upon the application and where it is. But what you're talking about is probably the best thing to do is have some sort of portable air cleaner if you know, air quality is something that you're looking for.
Well, the high efficiency that they accomplish has a lot to do with the fact that they're not pushing any air through the ductwork to begin with. But, you know, that's the other question, John and Derek, that I'm asked a lot. How high efficiency a unit should I spend the money for? And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the 15 to 16s are pretty customary. You can get up into the low 20s. But that mini split, as I understand it, can exceed 30. But again, we're not pushing any air through ductwork. That's one of the reasons it can get so efficient. Ductwork is inherently a very inefficient way to distribute the air. Unfortunately, for central heating and air, we don't have many other ways we can do it.
And that's correct. And with that being said, I mean, really, the best thing to do to answer that question is to have, you know, somebody come out and look at the situation, because it really depends upon what you're going to be using it for. And, you know, and they go all the way up, like you said, above 30 SEER now, and that's depending upon the tonnage again. Up to is the key word there. But with that, your mini split, you know, anywhere from 16 is where they start all the way up to 30. And, you know, once again, depending upon the application is really what you're looking for. If they're going to be using it all the time inside of a space and they're really conscious of energy savings, then that's going to be your best option, is to go with something probably the 20 SEER to 30 SEER. Go, Danny, go, go.
one 767 4348. If you'd like to get on the line with John DeGarville or Derek Ball of Isley's Home Performance, celebrating their 60-year in business. They work out of
Gilbert, Arizona.
I was Chandler, Gilbert, Mesa. Yeah. That whole intersection confuses me, where it all meets together. Chandler? Gilbert.
Gilbert.
All
yeah. right. Right on the edge, all of them.
First on the line is, let's start with Pete, wants to talk about air filters. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning to you. You got the Isley brothers there. The question I've got is, people with allergies will be buying high-grade HEPA-type filters to get smaller and smaller particulate out of the air. Do those filters, when put into a standard system, do they cause any extra wear and tear, I guess, on motors having to draw air through a much more tightly woven filter. I've wondered about that for years. There are a lot of people with serious pollen issues in the springtime. So I've always wondered about denser filters causing problems with your AC system.
And Pete, that's a very good question that we run into on a regular basis. And I always recommend to purchase the best filters available to try and keep the air clean in the home. But there are some limitations there that if it is too restrictive, that we need enough filter area for the air to be able to still move through the system and not put undue strain on airflow and motor. So, you know, we highly recommend to have up to about 200 square inches of filter area per ton of air conditioning. So as long as we have adequate filter area, it's not too much of an issue to put a better air filter in. But in most cases, and when we're out looking at homes, it's probably 90% of the time in most homes, the filter area is too small. When the home was built, that there was minimum filter area, you know, provided. So then that does get into an issue that putting in a better air filtration ends up being a problem where you don't get the proper airflow through the unit.
Favorite air filter. What do y'all recommend?
Well, I recommend a pleated air filter. Just a standard pleated air filter is probably the best filter. A lot of installations that we do now, we put in a 5-inch pleated air filter. So, you know, there are cases where we recommend just a standard, you know, angel hair style filter. But in most cases, it's one of the things an air conditioner does is it can clean the air. It helps keep the equipment clean, the coils clean. So we want to have good air filtration.
Pete, we appreciate the call. Let's get to Kevin next on the line. Wants to talk about sizing your equipment. Welcome to the broadcast, Kevin.
Hi, thank you. I'm a little confused. I've listened to the show week after week, and we actually had Green ID out this last Saturday, and they checked everything out, said everything was working great, and I thought I had an oversized air conditioner because it keeps cycling on and off constantly, and they've actually said that we have an undersized unit by about a ton. So I'm a little confused as to, I hear Rosie say you're better to have an undersized unit, it'll run longer, it's less expensive, less wear and tear on the unit, starting up and shutting down. So I'm confused.
Well, in your particular circumstance, and of course without seeing it, you know, oversized and undersized are two issues that you know, we want to look at. But in your particular case, how big is your home?
2,000 square foot, and we've got a 4-ton unit.
Yeah. So there's so many variables in saying that, you know, because we get into ceiling heights, windows, style of windows, how much insulation that you have. And then we typically do a load calculation on the home to determine what you need. So shutting on and off constantly, and I think that's what you started off with, could be from several different things. But if the home's achieving temperature and it's turning off, there may be some settings within the thermostat that could be adjusted. But it's probably something that you need to get another opinion on that and determine what's best to do with your particular circumstance.
It used to be you would just divide the ton of air conditioning into every 400 square feet of living space. Technology's really caught up with that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of variables there. So if you replace windows, you have the proper insulation, shading on the house. So there's a lot of things to put into that equation to determine what size that you need, what temperature that you like to keep it in the house. You know, we run into people that like to keep it 82 in the house, and we run into people that like to keep it 65. So that would really determine on sizing, you know, on all those factors.
And variable speed motors now come into play. We didn't have those when they used to do that average square foot.
Yeah, and you know, most air conditioners move way more air than they used to be, and airflow is super critical to the efficiency of the air conditioner. So we need to make sure that it's moving the proper amount of air, which gets into the filtration, duct sizing. So there's just a lot to the sizing equation in the comfort level for the homeowner.
Derek, you've gone to say something a few times.
And I would say, you know, and if, you know, like John stated, is to get a second opinion. And also, if Green ID, I think, is the company you said that came out to your home, another good question to ask them is, you know, you'd stated that we needed to put a 5-ton on the piece, on the home, and maybe ask them for the heat load calculation and go over that with you, so that way you can understand why they believe a 5-ton is efficient for your home, and maybe go online also and look at, you know, to see if they're APS SRP certified contractors, because whenever they submit, and I don't know what efficiency you're looking for or anything on those lines if you're replacing your piece of equipment, but you do have to submit that proper heat load calculation to those utility companies to be able to receive your rebate. So, you know, not only getting a second opinion, but also maybe asking for, you know, the proper heat load calculation to review that with that company that came out might be a good question to ask them.
There you go. We appreciate the call. Great advice. Let's get to Rollin and Queen Creek as we continue to move through the calls. It's 1-888-767-4348 to get on the line. Rollin, you're up.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. My question is, I have a 3-car tandem garage. I want to partition off the tandem and put a mini split system to cool that for a workshop. And then about 30 feet away, I have a single car garage attached to the house that is insulated, and I'd like to cool it too for a game room for the grandkids. Can you do that with one system?
Yes, you can. I was to say that, you know, and you said the game room was detached. Is that correct?
No, it's attached.
Attached. So yes, you can definitely do that. You know, you can run up to 5 different air handlers off of one ductless system. You know, sizing is very important again, depending upon what kind of equipment you have in the space, what kind of insulation you have in the space. And those are all things that you would review whenever a contractor came out to give you an estimate on installing a ductless system into that area.
Cool.
Yes.
That's what I needed to know. Thanks very much.
No problem.
You're welcome. And that's a great use of the garage space. I mean, it's a little insulation, a little air conditioning, and you've got a whole new living space that most homes are used for.
Well, I'm just going to say that I would have loved to have an air conditioned game room growing up as well in the garage. It would have been great. So I'm jealous.
Bill and Mace is next on the line. Good morning, sir. How may we help you?
Yeah, I had someone out recently. I've got an American Standard 12-year-old, and it is the one that kind of picks up slow and, you know, gradually gets a little bit stronger. And it's nearly Freon put in it, but I had someone out and they said it needs some other Freon, and that the older one is kind of expensive. And I was wondering if there is a way to convert the old Freon to the new, like they did with the cars a while back.
Well, that's another really good question. With what you're talking about, it gets into the cost of changing that. There are some drop-in refrigerants that are available, but if you're just talking about adding a pound of Freon or 2 pounds of Freon, it's probably less expensive to do that in this particular case to get you back, you know, running to your peak efficiency. But if you've lost all of your Freon, or, you know, you have some other issues with the system, it may be something to look at, but it's still not a super popular option, is to put in a drop-in Freon in a residential air conditioner. And in most cases, when it's getting to 12 years old, you're almost to the lifespan of the system, and it may be time to look at, you know, options on replacement. But, you know, we like to see it get 15 years plus, but it just depends upon where you're at. And it's not normal for a unit to lose Freon, but adding a pound isn't unusual. But if it gets worse than that, that you have to add Freon every year or more than that, then you might look at other options.
We appreciate the call. We do have a couple calls online that are still in the screening process, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, talking with Isley's Home Performance. I did that to y'all again. Yeah, home services.
You got it.
Advanced. That was the last hour's guess. I'm getting the final piece of the name mixed up with Steve Kep. What haven't we covered yet? We've gone through filters, we've gone through mini splits, we've gone through sizing.
Well, there's a lot to air conditioning, but filtration is a question that we get all the time, and we talked about that, but that's super important that people have the right filters and they're looking at keeping their system maintained, and maintenance is another issue. So it's highly recommended by the utility companies to get your system looked at twice a year to make sure it's running at its peak performance. And that's a super important thing that a homeowner can do, is change their filter and get regular maintenance, and it's important to do that.
What about thermostats? A lot has changed since the Honeywell dial.
Well, with thermostats, there's a lot of options out there today, and even your internet provider is offering thermostats now. You know, security companies, you know, you name it, they're all offering thermostats. And really depends upon what you're looking for operation-wise. Some people want the simplest style of thermostat, and some people want to be able to control their whole system remotely. And a lot of these new controls and thermostats, whenever you can operate them remotely, they can run multiple other devices within your home as well. So, you can make sure your garage is closed, you can turn lights on and off, and it's not only just controlling your air conditioning system and setting a program into your air conditioning system. You have all the capability of doing that now anywhere, as long as you have, you know, your phone or tablet or anything along those lines.
It's pretty incredible. The technology is pretty incredible. A little excessive maybe for practical use, but it's still incredible. Nick's on the line, but we'll get to him after the break. We've got one final segment here, 1-888-767-4348. And you have exactly 10-12 minutes left to text in your favorite American-made product for your chance to win one of these Kimes bags or hats as part of an impromptu promotion that just happened. Our guest from the 7 o'clock hour brought in these great products, American-made, and we're going to give them to you. You just have to text in your favorite American-made product, and then we'll draw randomly from everyone that entered. We have had a packed program today, and the lines and the texts have just been loaded up. If you didn't get a chance to catch it all, or you missed something, or you weren't able to get on the line, just know this entire show, as always, you can find it at rosieonthehouse.com. Click on the podcast. Each Saturday is broken down into 16 segments. There's 4 hours of the broadcast. Each hour has 4 segments, so you can pick segments individually. Mike puts keywords there, so if you heard something, you can do Control F, Apple F, type in the keyword, the topic. It'll help you get dialed down to the segment you're looking for. There's also the podcast option. Each hour is put together, so there's 4 podcasts per Saturday. You can listen to the whole hour if you'd like as well. So there's a couple ways to get it. And if you had questions unanswered, info@rosieonthehouse.com. There's a contact page there. And, of course, every one of our guests that you hear, you can find them. If you're in the Gilbert area, when you go to find a trusted partner, type in your zip code or city, type in air conditioning, and Isley's Home Performance Service right there. Y'all's number and website real quick.
It's isleys.com, so isleys.com, and the phone number is 480-736-1805.
And I would say I was really excited when we started working on y'all screening application, because one of the things that is required to become a partner is 5 years in business locally, licensed, bonded, insured. Getting an application from a company 60 years old, that's special. Those are the kind of relationships we love to build. I'm really excited to have you all as part of
the network. We appreciate to be part of the team now, so we're glad to be here.
And just as a testament to Isley's, one of our air conditioning contractors called us and said, you know, I was talking to John the other day at a trade meeting, and sounds like he's filled out the application. I said, well, he's filled it out, but doesn't mean he's going to clear it. We've still got our screening process to go through. And he said, well, let me tell you something. If you're going to add anybody else in air conditioning in Phoenix, Isley's is the one to add. So a little compliment from inside the network there for you.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Over that 60 years, y'all go ahead, Rosie.
There is one topic I'd like John and Derek to cover real quick, because I think it leaves a lot of people still very, very confused about the Freon issue, the old and the new, and the stories that are used by certain air conditioning contractors on the scare tactics involved around that. Could they just give a short description of the history of the evolution of Freon and how it shouldn't be used as a scare tactic in replacing equipment?
Well, it was back in 2010, if I've got my years right, that the federal government came out and said that R22, and when we say old Freon, it's R22, is ozone depleting. So they've came out with a new style Freon that's popular with residential air conditioning, which is an R410A. So when we talk old, it's R22, new's the R410A. And so they've limited production of R22, and by the year 2020, R22 is not supposed to be produced anymore in the United States. So at that point that they've slowed down production, that means the price of it has doubled, tripled. It's very, very expensive now compared to what it used to be. So it's not the end of the world to have a Freon leak and have to add refrigerant into a system. And whenever you're losing Freon, we usually want to fix a leak depending upon the circumstance and what you have. But, so it's with needing to put Freon into a system, that's not always a reason to replace it. We want to look at many factors, the age of the system, how much Freon it needs or doesn't need, what repairs need to be performed. But the refrigerant issue, we do see people using that as a tactic for replacement, but it's not always a reason to replace a system.
Well, all right. Well, Rosie, thanks for joining us. He was remote from Minnesota, visiting Julia Drake, our Director of Public Relations and First Impressions via the digital world. If you've sent an email to rosieonthehouse.com in the last three, four, five, I lose track of time, but it's been a while. She's been control and command there. That is Rosie's, Rachel, Romy, Katie, T-Boy. That's Rosie's fifth of six kids that's out there visiting, and they have three kids. So he's doing a little family time tied into a trip to Detroit he took for business. We are just 1 minute left to get your entry in on American Made Tools. This is our entire 7 o'clock hour next week. We've got over 200 entries and a lot of fun stuff. Klein Tools, John Deere, Therm-A-Rest, American Grills, Harley Davidson, Snap-on Tools, Henry Rifles, Ruger Rifles, Oric, baseball gloves, State 48 Apparel. Of course, what started all, Kimes Apparel. Western jeans, blue jeans made right here in America by a Scottsdale-based company, Kimes Ranch. So appreciate everyone tuning in and participating. Derek, John, thank you. Welcome again to the network. Isley's, again, the number one last time.
480-736-1805.
Join us next Saturday. We start broadcasting 7 o'clock sharp. It's Rosie on the house.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.